baby, what a play!
This is Jeff Fedotin with Believe in Chiefs on the Believe Network, Kansas City's number one sports podcast network. The only place with a show for every team in KC and more. We believe in our teams. Do you believe? On this week's show, former Kansas City Chiefs offensive lineman Joe Valerio and I discuss the Chiefs' 15th consecutive victory over the Broncos, preview the season-ending game against the Raiders, and discuss what it's like dealing with such a devastating NFL injury like Bill's safety. Damar Hamlin sadly suffered. But before we get into those serious, weighty topics, Joe, let's start with the Chiefs a little bit. The Chiefs are sleepwalking a little bit through the last month. You know, they're sneaking by lousy teams, including last weekend's 27-24 win against the Broncos. Now comes the Raiders team that just sent their franchise quarterback home. You know, almost has like preseason vibes a little bit. Joe, are you concerned, or will the Chiefs be able to kind of flip the switch come playoff time, kind of like how those great Phil Jackson Lakers teams used to do?
Yeah, Jeff, I love your analogy, sleepwalking. That's, God, I don't think I could have summed that up any better, because that's what it seems like. It just seems like they're doing enough to get it done, and no more, right? Uh-huh. I mean, it's their skin of their teeth. It was a term that came, I was texting with a friend over the weekend, mm-hmm. and, you know, we were kind of going back and forth about, you know, the whole Broncos country, let's ride. And of course, you know, he was like, Chiefs country. And I'm like, let's ride, you know, and I said, by the skin of our teeth. And that term came up, you know, and that's what it just seems like. It's really hard to pinpoint what it is. I mean, it's Patrick Mahomes is having a career type year. Their defense at times looks amazing. They, you know, they're getting things going a little bit in the running game.
Remember when we were so concerned about that? That seems like it's not even a concern anymore, you know?
Yeah, I mean, it could have rushed a little, you know, could have done a little bit more. I mean,
yeah,
But overall, I think, you know, they're still, you know, beating teams in yards per play, and they just seem to be playing down to competition, mm-hmm. which is not hard to do in the NFL. It's easy mm-hmm. to fall into that trap, you know, when you're week in and week out. It's a long season. And I just hope that, you know, sometimes in those situations, Jeff, it's like, you know, like a race car. You can't just drive a race car slow and then think that it's going to hit 200 plus miles an hour, you know, at some point. You have to run that car fast to keep it going fast. And I'm maybe using that analogy, overstretching it a little bit, but that's how I'm kind of thinking of this. I just hope that there's no gunk in the carburetor. Cars don't even have carburetors anymore, but, you know, I just hope there's no gunk in the carburetor when the playoffs start, and that they have all these kinks worked out and they put that complete game together, because still haven't seen it, right? Mm-hmm. If it's not one thing, it's another. You know, if it's defense, secondary giving up too many big plays, it's and they shore things up, we don't get it going in the running game. And then mm-hmm. if we don't get it going in the running game, we struggle in special teams. Like, we can't get the perfect. And nobody plays a perfect game, but we can't get the complete game together. Mm-hmm. And I think that's what probably has a lot of fans puzzled, has me puzzled, and probably has the coaching staff puzzled, because they don't not want to be playing complete games. There's some element is missing in the formula for sure.
You know, Bill Parcells credited those really competitive NFC East, when he was a Giants head coach, credited those really competitive NFC East games when back then the Redskins were great, the Giants were great, the Eagles, and then the Cowboys would have the triplets dynasty is kind of preparing them for the playoffs. Originally, we thought before the season the AFC West was going to be so tough that all the teams were going to be kind of beaten down. Mm-hmm. I wonder if there's like a happy medium between what the Chiefs are going through now, and then you want to be challenged, but you don't want to be just, you know, be so challenged that you're really kind of worn down mm-hmm. by the playoff season. I don't know, Joe, did iron sharpen iron, or what do you think here?
It's a really good question. It's a great point, because, you know, not to change, I'm staying on the subject, obviously, but not to turn it to the NFC East, because you mentioned them. Mm-hmm. They are. That's happening to them right now. What's happening to the NFC East is exactly what I was afraid was going to happen to the AFC West. It's almost like mirror image. Isn't that funny? And here I am. You know, I live in Philadelphia and I follow the Eagles, obviously my boyhood team. But like, I'm watching that same thing happen. The Eagles can't clinch this home field, right? They're and this does relate to the Chiefs and the AFC West. I don't want people to think I'm going whole NFC East centric here. But you know, Jalen Hurts is hurt. The Eagles can't seem to get it together to clinch this home field. The Washington Commanders have fallen off of the, kind of off the wagon there, and are falling out of playoff contention, where at one point the entire NFC East was going to the playoffs. And it looked like that could be a big possibility. It was a good possibility. The Cowboys are they're the Cowboys. They're going to find something's going to happen to them, and the Giants will limp in. Like, this is exactly, I'm watching what I was afraid of was going to happen to the AFC West. Now, the AFC West, I think, is going through another, like you said, can we get a happy medium where, like, what are the Raiders going to do to get the Chiefs ready for the playoffs? Now, a lot of it obviously depends on what happens with, the home field or not, right? So if somehow the Chiefs get that number one seed, we're going to see a completely different Raiders week than we're used to seeing. You know, this isn't going to be the Raiders week of 1991, where, we had to win, two games back to back against the Raiders, right? That's just not going to happen. It's just definitely not going to be a Raiders week that we're used to, for sure. So, yeah, God, Jeff, you're bringing up, you're stumping me today, because these questions are great, and they're questions that we've all been asking ourselves. What's better? Is it better to, like you said, iron sharpening iron, and you're just like you're just on high alert for the entire season, and you're working, or do you need a bye, air quote, bye week every once in a while to let your players rest and have an easy game where you can try out new plays, new formations, try new players at different positions, do different things to make you ready for the playoffs. I think, Jeff, I think if I had to, now that I'm talking through it, I would say that I think you want a happy medium. I think you want, no team has ever gone undefeated, right? Since the 1972 Dolphins. So we haven't ever seen that. So nobody's going to play that perfect season. And that's going to, especially now with 17 games, that's going to be really hard to do. And with the parity of the league, I'm going with happy medium. If I had to, that was the longest answer to get to the shortest question, or the longest answer to get to a short question, is I'm going happy medium. I think there needs to be, if you come in where you've had some tough games, some good road wins, games where you had to pull it out, but you were always beating the teams handily that you needed to beat. And I think that's maybe the happy medium that this team is not finding right now. And they're not really beating teams that handily that they should be beating. They're winning, but they're not beating them.
Right. Well, Joe, the talk of the NFL right now, of course, is the horribly sad, devastating injury to Damar Hamlin on Monday Night Football, the Bills' safety. You think of comparisons in NFL history, and one of them was in 1992 when Dennis Byrd, different injury, but so serious, and the way it stopped play, Dennis Byrd of the New York Jets became paralyzed on play. Joe, you were blocking him. You were the right tackle for the Chiefs on the game. Kind of take listeners through your emotions. What it's like to have that kind of devastating injury during the game, and how you come back from that.
Yeah, Jeff. There, November 29th, 1992. It's stuck in my brain, etched in my memory is, a day that I'll never forget. I had my hands on Dennis when he collided with Scott Mercerew. We were both he, John Alt and I were pushing our guys past the pocket, and they collided and caught a piece of Dave Craig. We both of us got short corners, and the emotion that you feel immediately, well, anytime you see a player go down, opponent or teammate, right? First thing is, man, I hope they're okay, right? Because it's a brotherhood, it's a fraternity, and you don't want to see players get hurt. And the players that work to hurt other players or seemingly do shouldn't be in the league. And so I think, you kind of just to get that out of the way, you always feel for players who get hurt, especially when you know it's going to be serious, right? Because it's their livelihood, and it's you have a very short window to have this career. A lot of work goes into it, years of preparation, and you don't want it to be cut short for something that, you know, maybe could have been prevented, or, you know, for a freak injury. And so there's always those injuries, and you know, you kind of just know that that's part of the game. You know, players who haven't had at least some kind of what I would call a more than minor injury, they're probably not playing a lot if they haven't had one, because you know, something's gonna happen, you know, on the field. It's just the chances are high. You know, obviously the chances are very slim, as we see by the number of these kind of things that happen on a football field, at least in the NFL. You know, it's you kind of put those out of your mind, right? Because you just know, you know there's the risk of these very serious type injuries. You know, semi, you know, in some of these cases, I don't know if this is the right medical term, but like semi life threatening, you know, things like what happened to Dennis Byrd on that fateful day, right? Where he, you know, lost the use of his legs, and was never able to play football again. Mike Utley was another player for the Lions. Freak thing. You know, he was blocking a defensive lineman. Defensive lineman jumped up in the air to try to bat the ball down, came down on his neck. Didn't look like anything. You're like, okay, just came down on his head. We all have headbutted something in our lives. You didn't have to play football to have, you know, fallen and like bumped your head or something, right? You fall off a bike or whatever. And, you know, and then all of a sudden Mike Utley never walks again. He's been in a wheelchair his entire life since that moment. And you're just like, wow, like, okay, that's crazy that those things can happen. But, you know, as a player, you put them out of your mind, because for a lot of players, the rewards are greater than the risk. You know, the benefits of playing in the NFL from just a competitive perspective, and you know, today especially the dollars, and you know what it can do to players financially. It's they just kind of like people just outweigh it. They love playing the game and they take the risk. This one was so different though, because like when Dennis got hurt, we knew probably within, I would say, you know, time kind of stands still. So it's hard to remember back now, you know, almost 30 years to the actual timing, but it was probably only 30 or 45 seconds before we really knew he was hurt, like really hurt. Like he didn't tear his ACL, right? He didn't, you know, pop a disc in his back, or like, you know, where, you know, he was not move, like he wasn't moving, and short of moving his arm. So those situations, it just like ratchets up, right? When you see a guy writhing in pain, grabbing his knee or banging the ground, like you kind of know, all right, like he's hurt and you don't want him to be hurt, but you're like, okay, the game has to go on, right? Like you've got to keep playing, and that's just part of the game. But when you see players, you know, and then you go to the next level, you go to the Mike Utley, Dennis Byrd level, where, you know, thank goodness they both didn't, you know, go into some kind of cardiac arrest, or like where they were hurt so bad that their heart stopped. You know, you're kind of like, all right, he's going to get up. Like he's going to get on the stretcher. In both cases, both players, you know, gave the thumbs up when they were carried off in the stretcher. Like, all right, we've seen that before, right? And you just kind of put it out of your mind for that game, and then you kind of live with the ramifications later. And you know, this one though, so that's like level B, right? There's a level C, there's a level B, and then this one was like level A. I mean, he needed to be revived, Jeff. Like, you know, there was a chance, not that there wasn't a chance that Dennis or Mike couldn't have actually passed away on the field, but like there was a really good chance that he could have. And you're just like, wow, like, all right, this game has to end. Like, you know, no one can even think about playing this game, because those other injuries, players can put a little bit out of their mind. Something like this, witnessing something like this that's so devastating, you can't play the game of football, which is a violent game. It's an emotional game. It's a high-paced, high-stake game. You can't play it immediately after that. Like you can't. Like you just can't. Like there's no way those players could. Somebody else would have gotten hurt. And that would have been a fear. Is it like? And then you're thinking, well, why are we playing this game? Like how important is it? And so
Do
yeah.
you remember if, you know, when I at first, you know, we think, oh, if whenever you see a player down, you're like, oh man, it might be a concussion in this day and age, which is a very serious injury. This went to a whole another level. But then when they brought the ambulance out, that's kind of when my antenna went up. I was like, geez, I don't remember that. Do you remember if for Dennis Byrd they brought the ambulance out on the field, or is it such just like a fog of war thing you don't remember?
I don't think they did. I'd have to, gosh, I'd have to go back and watch the video or try to remember back. But I don't think they did, Jeff. And I don't think they did for Mike Utley either. I think it was they carted him off the field on a stretcher. So, took all the precautions, cut the helmet off, took the, I'm trying to remember if both for both of them they even took their helmets off. But try to cut through some of the pads and stuff like that to get get them stable, because you don't want to move somebody too much if you think there's a suspected. Remember, sometimes with these neck injuries, they're suspected neck injuries, right? Because you can't take an X-ray or an MRI right there on the field. You got to get the player off the field into some medical care. And I think at that point, players are like, all right, well, the optimist in all players. Right, because you have to be an optimist to play this game. You can't be a pessimist. You could you'd go crazy. The optimist, like, all right, he's gonna be fine. He maybe he just jammed his neck and he couldn't feel his leg, had a little tingle, and he's gonna get up and walk. And so you kind of put it out of your mind until later. And we didn't find out that Dennis was, paralyzed, and he was going to be paralyzed probably for hours after the game, right? Maybe even somewhere on the flight home, or maybe even after that, maybe when we landed, because you just. Back then, especially the social media and stuff wasn't around. But in a situation like this, man, the emotion that you saw out on that field was real, because players are thinking about that could have been me, and this kind of really could have almost happened to anybody. And I think I so definitely the ambulance ratchets things up to the nth degree, right? Because that is immediate care, right? When defibrillators are coming out and people are doing CPR, that's for real. Like, I've never that's you just don't ever see that, right? You don't there's never even as serious as the injuries to like a Mike Utley or
A bird, yeah.
Daryl Stingley or Dennis Byrd, like, nobody needed to do CPR. And that's what I think really took this to the nth degree.
Well, just know we're prayers with DeMar Hamlin. We're thinking about him and his family. Wanted to mention that before we go into our ad read here. Well, BetOnline remains your number one source for all your sports betting this season, everything from NFL and bowl season to esports. You'll always find the latest odds, team matchup info, players' news, game trends. It's all at BetOnline. BetOnline features live betting, free contests, and live scores for almost any sport or game imaginable. We're the fastest and the easiest way to bet all your favorite leagues and events. Head to BetOnline AG to join and receive your 50% welcome bonus with your first deposit. Make sure to use promo code BLEAV, BLEAV, to receive your rewards. Bet online, where the game starts. Well, Joe, now that we've talked about the more important part of the devastating Hamlin injury, just the emotional effect and our thoughts and prayers of the players, there are some logistics involved. And the Chiefs today, we're recording it Tuesday. We're posting the pod on Wednesday. They canceled their Tuesday media session. Tuesday's you typically a day off throughout the NFL, but since the Chiefs play on Saturday, they were going to do media Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday off, and a travel day. Anyhow, they which is an unusual move that they canceled that, and they've so I'm wondering if they're almost kind of waiting to hear from the league on certain matters. Anyhow, they've announced the NFL has announced they won't play the Bills-Bengals game in week 18. My theory is they play in week 19 and maybe get rid of the bye before the Super Bowl week, because I mean this game it has very important stakes. I mean the home field advantage is on the line, and I'm sure the Bills want to play for Hamlin in the sense they wouldn't want that to be docked, home field advantage from missing a game, and you can't just give them a tie or give them a win. That's not fair to the Chiefs. Joe, how do you think this shakes out logistics
Yeah,
wise?
it's a really touchy, tricky subject, right, to approach, because no one wants to minimize anything, that happened from, from the injury perspective, right? I mean, that is no one, no one wants that to, you know, to be in any way disrespectful to DeMar Hamlin or his family or the players in both teams who witnessed it, the fans that were there. Like, nobody wants that. But you know, there is that broader question that the league is it has to go on, right? I mean, there's too much invested in what has been up to this point, and then what will be coming after, right? Because it's, you know, there's 32 teams, there's, you know, 50, 60 players per team, there's front office, there's a lot of people that's also their livelihood as well. Advertisers, sponsors, right? It's a very, very, very big game, and it's, you know, it's no different than, you know, in business. You know, God forbid someone loses a colleague at work. I mean, you have to get mourn, and then, you know, you go through, you know, the stages, and then, you know, the business goes on, and because people are depending on you for your work, and, you know, so, you know, I, you know, it's a really tough, it's a tough topic to broach, because no one wants to be insensitive to it. But you're right. This game was, that's another thing too, Jeff. Just one little aside is, think about how many people were watching this game that might not have typically been watching a Monday night game, right? Because the Monday night games have been so, oh God, they've been so
I was
lackluster.
so speaking of that, I watch, you know, I'm a big enough football nerd. I watch the lesser Monday night games, but I was so excited. Like I was looking forward to this game all day, talking about a range of emotions. I went from just, and you know, it had the beginnings of this is going to be an epic game, and I was so excited to, you know, then getting downright depressed as we feel so bad for the DeMar Hamlin and his teammates.
So, you know, like, God, I think I just, as an aside, I just think about all the people who were watching that live, you know, and the effect, emotional effect that that's going to have on them, other players that were watching the game, right? I mean, come on, if it's the Broncos versus the Rams, like, is are the Philadelphia Eagles or the Chiefs all getting together at somebody's house to watch the game? Probably not, right? Because it's the Broncos and Rams. But like, I'm sure there was a lot of players, more players than usual, watching this game live. I mean, it's just, that just throws a whole nother emotional wrench into the gears. But you know, yeah, Jeff, I mean, there's probably a lot of speculation about what the NFL is going to do. They're going to get questioned on both sides, right? If they go act too soon, you know, they're going to be, oh, well, they're insensitive, and they're not thinking about the players, and not thinking about what's really important in life. And if they wait too long, you know, people are going to say, hey, you know, what's the deal, right? You've got to make a decision here about how this affects all the other teams, and how it's going to affect a season that has been invested in by a lot of people, players, and businesses. So it's a really, really tricky situation to maneuver through. And I don't envy anybody who's in these situations, trying to cover it in the media, trying to deal with it as the NFL, trying to do it as the teams, right? Because, you know, like you said, I mean, the Bills and the Bengals, having seen that, aren't going to want DeMar's memory. Listen, he's still alive, I know that, but like, they don't want that part of his legacy to be remembered, that, you know, he ended the NFL season, right? Like, this was a dream of his to play in the NFL. You know, I saw some great videos of him approaching his family before games and what he's done in the community. And I don't think anybody would want to, you know, for his legacy to not be something, you know, he was doing something that he really loved, right? He was playing football, and that's where this happened. So it's a really, really, really tough situation. But I think they have to come to some conclusion about what they're going to do. And I think the NFL just needs to let some time sit, and I'm sure they probably have a plan, but I think waiting to see how things turn out for DeMar and his family, I think, is probably a good move. And then I'm sure the NFL players, knowing what I've seen on social media, knowing the mentality of a lot of players and the brotherhood feeling that you get in this fraternity, they're going to deal with whatever is most respectful to DeMar Hamlin. And if it means eliminating the week before the Super Bowl, and the two Super Bowl teams don't get a bye, the
My
NFL players are going to go, we did the right thing for
yeah.
DeMar Hamlin and his family. You know, if they just go, hey, Bills and Bengals, let's see, it's Tuesday, fly out on Friday. We'll push the next game back to Tuesday. It's like, oh, people will be like, come on. You know, they're going to be like, wait a minute, that's too soon. And so, you know, I know that the players will be A-okay. And that to me is the most important. Those are the people in the locker room and in the front offices, I think, are the most important in this situation. And fans are just going to have to deal with it. And businesses, sponsors, all those other people, they're just going to have to deal with whatever is the most respectful to DeMar Hamlin, given, you know, the gravity of the situation. So, yeah, I think that's an absolute possibility, Jeff. Just push everything back a week and forget the bye week for the Super Bowl. And I know in my heart that players and front office people and the people that are involved in the game itself are going to be A-okay with that because it's probably the most respectful thing to do.
And you know, I think playoff seeding is going to matter because I don't see any way the Chiefs lose to the Raiders. You know, otherwise, if they had lost, you're like, all right, well, maybe we can throw this game out. But I think home field is going to be on the line. And Joe, when you think of the Chiefs Raiders rivalry, you think of the most noteworthy player who played for the both teams, Marcus Allen. Well, he's golfing in the 2023 Hilton Grand Vacations Tournament of Champions from January 19th to 22nd. So I spoke to him about that event. You know, he said people always ask him to pick a team, Chiefs or Raiders, but he roots for both of them. He really roots for just more than the team colors, relationships, players he played with, Raiders game. I kind of feel the script, I think the Raiders are going to jump out early. That's what they've done. But I think the Chiefs come back and win. That's kind of the playbook of the Raiders season, you know, including what they did last week against a really good 49ers team, but then the 49ers won in the end, and including the previous meeting with the Chiefs when they jumped out 17-0, but of course the Chiefs came back. You think that's going to happen too again this game against the Raiders?
I got to be honest. I don't want to sound overly optimistic. I don't even know if the Raiders have anything in the tank to even jump out early on this team. You know, they're just a team in complete disarray. I just see the Chiefs just putting one on them. You know, just because they know that it's a must-win game, especially given that they're probably not, well, obviously if they play the Bengals Bills game after this game, they know that they've got to go out and play their best. I think they're going to want to jump on them quick, and I think the Chiefs are going to do that. I just can't see this team pulling it together right now to put together an effort that could, you know, that could really stop the Chiefs. Crazier things happen in the NFL and in weeks. Well, now I guess we have to say week 18, right? With the bye week and everything. But like in week 18, I just can't see, you know, I just can't see the Raiders pulling this one out, or even jumping out early. I know that's usually the MO in this game, and the Chiefs always put the pedal to the metal, but I just can't see that happening this year. I think the Chiefs are going to want to have a game plan going into this game that, like you said, is going to help them propel into the playoffs as opposed to limping in. And that's my hope. And hope shouldn't be a strategy, but it's what I think is going to happen this week. And I think the Chiefs win this game handily, you know, 31 to 10, and they walk out of there, you know, with a really, really great regular season under their belt from a wins and losses perspective. Not probably all the games that the fans wanted to see them win the way they won them, but you know, it's pretty tough to go through this league and have a three loss season for sure.
Any concerns about, you know, it's funny. I had seen Jarrett Stidham, their new quarterback, after they've benched Carr. I had seen him with the Patriots, and he, you know, did not look good. He basically didn't look like he should be in the NFL. He looked that bad when he was kind of jockeying with Brian Hoyer for a backup role. But he played very well against a really tough 49ers defense. For 365 yards. They put up 34 points. Any concerns there?
Well, I think this is going to be, you know, going back to not to make this about the Eagles, but like going back to the Gardner Minshew game against the Cowboys, like first game out of the gate, it's kind of making me think
Beginner's luck.
about,
A little bit.
Yeah, you know, good term, Jeff. Like that first game out, you got nothing to lose, you know, and then all of a sudden, like reality sets in. I watched it happen last week with the Eagles, right? Gardner had that unbelievable game against the Cowboys, right? Putting up all those points, and then this week against the Saints, he just, you know, I'm not saying he laid an egg, but it just wasn't the game he probably thought he was going to have coming out of the, you know, out of that Cowboys loss, which was, you know, which was an amazing game for both him and the Eagles, I think, given their time without Jalen Hurts. That's why I'm just kind of like, if history repeats itself, that's what I think we're going to see is a little bit of a sophomore slump, you know, where a player just kind of like was riding high on the emotion, and then all of a sudden the reality sets in that, oh man, you know, now everybody's got a little film on me. You know, and the 49ers had they had no film on him,
Right,
right?
that's
Where
true.
what are his tendencies? Where does he look?
Oh.
The D-backs don't know where his eyes are going. You know, now all of a sudden there's film. They can see, you know, other, you know, the Chiefs now are gonna be able to see the formations that he likes. And I think they're gonna be able to put it together a game plan to kind of shut him down, especially if they get pressure, right? If Chris Jones keep rushing the way he's rushing, it could be a long day. It could be a long day for him. So, you know, I don't want to be overly optimistic about this one, but I think all things are kind of pointing to a pretty sizable Chiefs win.
BetOnline has the spread at 7.5, and I'm kind of liking that. And again, I do think I'm just, you know, the Raiders have been up early on so many games, and they just collapse in the fourth quarter.
Yeah.
I think the same thing is going to happen. And I think, you know, when they get into the fourth quarter, it's going to be in the back of their minds. And I think the Chiefs do win. They sweep the AFC West this year very impressively. Well, if you enjoy this show presented by Bet Online, please subscribe. We're available on your favorite directories: iTunes, Spotify, Google Play, Stitcher, Luminary, and TuneIn. Thanks for listening, and we'll be back next week.